With that this evening, it is enough. It is enough. You got to, amen. That's where you had to get before you could be saved. Amen. The sinner's got to get to the place where they can look at Calvary by faith and say, it is enough. And the key, I believe the key to satisfaction and joy and peace. I ain't telling you I'm any expert on this, but amen. The key to Christian life is living in that same vein of saying it is enough. It is enough that Jesus died. No matter what's going on around us, amen, the cross is enough. Jesus is enough. His blood is enough. His word is enough. And thank God, I'm glad it is enough tonight. And we could preach on that. I'm sure we could preach on that tonight. I'm in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 20. 1 Kings, chapter number 20 tonight. And while you're finding your place, and as you're finding your place, why don't you stand with me? And I'm going to read several verses tonight, and we're going to preach to you the message the Lord has laid upon our heart. And I always, always, and some folk maybe have questioned it at times, but I've always tried to preach to be a help and a blessing to the people of God, and that's always my desire. And I'd rather not preach if we couldn't be a help. And sometimes the Lord give you a message, and some will say, well, that's kind of a hard message. And they don't think that's what they need. But whether it's a hard message, a message of reproof and rebuke, or a message of exhortation, amen, preaching is supposed to be for our benefit. And tonight ain't a hard message. In fact, tonight I really want to try to encourage us this evening in the house of the Lord. And try to give you what the Lord has laid on our heart. We're in 1 Kings chapter 20. Let's begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible said, "And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee." The servants of the king of Syria said unto him, "Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. Number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot. We will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. It came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel, and the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. Listen to verse 28. There came a man of God. Here he shows up again. Ain't you thankful for God's men? And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, "Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." I want to preach tonight just a simple thought on the God of the valleys. The God of the valleys. This is really the introduction message to some of what we've already preached in some weeks gone by, but we want to give you this thought tonight. You can be seated. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Heavenly Father, one more time today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the house of God that you said should be called the house of prayer, we pray. Lord, we know that in and of ourselves, again tonight as we've entered in, dwelleth no good thing. That, Lord, what we are tonight by the grace of God. Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved and to be a child of the King tonight. Lord, as we preach that, Lord, this morning our hearts have been overwhelmed through the afternoon of where you brought us from. And the experience we've had, Lord, being brought in the family of God by the new birth. And Lord, we ain't forgot where we used to be and Lord, where we could be tonight. But Lord, thanks to your grace, Lord, we stand where we stand this evening and we bless your name. Now, Lord, we're here before the people of God one more time. We need your help to preach. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd use this to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray this text of the Word of God would be a source of encouragement tonight. Lord, we've come tonight to magnify our God. And I pray that, Lord, you'd use us tonight to do that. Touch us, Lord, in every way. Our voice is weak. We sure do, Lord, need a touch. Lord, I pray you'd give it. But Lord, beyond that, Lord, may the words we speak have the power of the Holy Ghost behind it. And Lord, may they find a lodging place tonight in the hearts of your people. Draw sinners unto yourself in everything that you do. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In 1 Kings chapter number 20, you'll find doing just a brief study that Ahab is king over Israel. And during this chapter and in this time, he faces trouble and threats from Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. In fact, this entire chapter deals with the relationship between Ahab and Ben-Hadad, this Israelite king and this Syrian king, and what conflicts exist between the two. And we understand about Ahab that Ahab was a wicked man in his own right. He had a very wicked wife that brought in all sorts of forms of idolatry and paganism and Baal worship. And we understand in studying this time of Israel's history that Ahab was not some God-fearing, God-honoring, righteous, holy man. In fact, he was a very wicked man in his life and throughout it. And we understand Elijah had dealt with Ahab and Jezebel and all their prophets, and he had been called out for all his sin. And there's no, amen, it's no secret what kind of life and what kind of wickedness that Ahab had engaged in and introduced Israel to. But when we come to 1 Kings chapter number 20, I am encouraged in this thought that even in spite of all his wickedness, God in this chapter would still be helping this ungodly man. In fact, when you began to study 1 Kings chapter number 20, we didn't read the opening 21 verses, but there you'll find that Ben-Hadad comes to and sends word to Ahab, king of Israel. And he's beginning to breathe out threatenings that he's going to come and besiege Samaria, that he's going to take all the gold and all the silver and all the treasures out of the land. You'll find that he doesn't stop there. He brings out threatenings saying, I'm going to take your wives and your children and your servants and all the goodliest that are among you and of your household and in the land. All these things are going to be won in victory unto me, and I am going to take them for myself. And you'll find that Ahab was tempted in those opening verses to begin to try to make some sort of compromise. And yet the Lord sends a message that he's going to deal with Ben-Hadad, and he's going to give a victory there to Israel. He's going to help Ahab, as wicked as he is, and as much sin as is in the land. The Lord is not going to let Ben-Hadad come in and do these things that he has threatened. And I, amen, if you want some good reading tonight before you go to bed, just read them opening verses. Don't do it while I'm preaching. Amen, I want you to stay in the text with me here in a moment. But, amen, you'll find that God did indeed send a great victory by great miraculous power and great force there to the nation of Israel. In fact, verse number 21 said, and the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians And I like this, with a great slaughter. And so it wasn't a small victory won that day, but God in His grace and God in His mercy took a man who was a failure and in sin and in wickedness, and in spite of himself, God did some wondrous things. And a lot we could preach there in them opening verses, and that the text is not there, amen, for you and I to use it as a crutch and to say God will bless us anyway, because amen, for this one, I could show you, amen, probably 5 to 10 to every one. You can show me like that, where God said, if you get in sin, don't call on me. I ain't going to help you. And so, amen, those things belong to God. And yet I'm encouraged that God is a very gracious and a very merciful God to you and I. Our text verses we've read tonight are concerned with the second war, and the first war was referenced as we read the text tonight, the in light of the verses we've read. And of course, the Syrians and the servants and the king of Syria are referencing the fact that they had been defeated in this first war. In fact, these verses concerning the second war between Ahab and Ben-Hadad one, the enemy was determined to fight. As we've read tonight, the second war, they're determined to fight down in the plains, believing Israel's God was not potent in the valley. Evidently, in the first war, they fought it in the mountain regions. Evidently, the enemy had tried to come. We know Samaria itself is built in the mountains, and Jerusalem itself is built in the mountains. And so, the enemy here, the Syrians, seem to have equated their defeat with the location upon which the battlefield had been fought. And they came to the conclusion in verse 23 that their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And so what a conclusion the enemy has come to, that if somehow, some way we can catch them in the valley, we'll go back down there and we'll whip up on them and we'll get vengeance for this victory they have stole from our hand in this first battle. And so these verses tonight, of course, the Lord, through the man of God in verse 28, makes the statement that because the Syrians have said the Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. In other words, their mindset, sissy, was this. Amen. The only reason they whipped us is that their God controls the mountaintops, but their God is not a God of the valleys. And it seemed like, amen, the Lord obviously has heard what they had to say and has taken it to heart and is going to disprove them. These verses in verse 23 and 28 give reference to the belief system of polytheistic pagans that deities have defined territorial boundaries and jurisdictions. When they say He's the God of the mountains, but He is not God of the valleys, they are in their polytheistic belief system saying that He is limited to only work in the mountaintops. He's only able to do great things and win great victories for His people so long as they're in the mountaintops. But if we can draw them down in the valleys, their God is limited and their God will have no power to deliver them out of our hand. And that is their polytheistic paganism shining through. Amen. The Syrians believed the Lord was there limited to the mountaintops, and therefore again had no power in the valley. But, amen, when all was said and done, God proves to be, amen, both the God of the mountain and the God of the valleys. I'm glad tonight that we serve a God who is God in the good times and is God in the bad times. And our God has no jurisdictional boundaries. He's the God of it all. I like what David said when he began to Speak of the Lord. He said, He's the God of my life. And if He's the God of your life, it don't matter where your life is. Amen. He is the God of the mountains. And He is the God of the valleys. We understand in the Word of God, in our thinking and in typology, oftentimes the mountains speak. My friend, of the blessings and the good times and the successful times, and those times when it seems like everything is going well in our life. But the valleys oftentimes speak to you and I of those times of our life of despair, discouragement, times in our life where, amen, seemingly nothing is going to ever go well again. Amen, a lot of valleys are referenced throughout the Word of God. The enemy in our text tonight is saying, amen, He may be God of the good times for them. He may be God in the high places, but if we could ever bring them down low, their God is not God of the valleys. And I'm glad to report tonight, whether everything's good or everything's bad, He is the God of the valleys. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, old Peg McKamey used to sing the song. Amen. And made it, my friend, live on in infamy. We'll be talking about it. Amen. The millennial kingdom. Old Peg will probably sing a verse or two. Amen. And kick her holy shoes off across the front of the throne of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Waving that old arm saying He's still God. Amen. He's still God in the valley. And I'm glad that's so tonight. And no doubt, amen, as we consider, my friend, our lives at times, amen, we find ourselves in the valleys, and the enemy would have you and I to believe, and our flesh may be tempted to accept the thoughts and the statements of the enemy that our God has somehow forsaken us in the valley. Amen. But nothing could be further from the truth. Brother A.L., He is God of the mountains, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. But the devil is a liar, and the world is a liar, and the flesh it lies. And my friend, our God is the God of the valleys. Amen. And from this text tonight, amen, we want to preach verses 22 through 32 yet. Amen. Not that verses 1 through 21 are not important, and not that the closing part of the chapter is unimportant. Amen. We want to focus in on this second battle tonight and deal with the God of the valleys. Amen. This evening, let me give you some truths this evening. Amen. I'm a preaching to some folk that know what it is to be in the valley. Amen. I heard one preacher speak about storms, and I guess it's true of valleys. Amen. In the same regard that you're either in a valley, amen, coming out of a valley, or getting ready to go into a valley. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, that may not be very encouraging. Amen. To think about the prospect of that and where we may be. Amen. But I don't care where we may be tonight. Our God is God of the valleys. He is the God of the valleys. And so if I'm in one tonight and you're in one, amen, the hope that we have is that He's God of the valleys. Amen. If you're coming up out of one, you can throw your hands up tonight. Amen. Because if you're coming out of it, you probably learned, amen, again, that He's God of the valleys. Amen. And if you're looking out across your life tonight, amen, and somewhere on the horizon there's a valley that awaits, amen, if you wake up to it tomorrow, you remember what your preacher said, and remember what God Himself said, that He's God of the valleys. Amen. Sometimes that valley comes when you sit down and the doctor says you've got cancer. Or, my friend, you get news that a father or a mother, my friend, has some sort of Alzheimer's or dementia. And sometimes it's about news you've got to go to a nursing home. And sometimes it's that your children ain't acting right. And sometimes it's broken relationships and friendships. And sometimes it's It's just spiritual lulls that we go through in life. Amen, friend, where we go through valleys sometimes. Amen, those valleys are wrapped around decisions that we have to make. Then we don't know what in the world we're supposed to do. Amen, David said, there's that ultimate valley of the shadow of death in which a child of God would not have to fear any evil because the Lord would be with him. Amen, you know what David was saying? It don't matter what the valley is and what the valley is to you and what's brought you there. Amen, God, the Lord is the God of the valleys. Amen, and so let's look here tonight. Added some truths in this story that revealed the Lord to be the God of the valleys. In verses 22 through 27, I want to draw your attention here in this text to the constant attack. The constant attack. Amen. I already told you in the opening 21 verses. Amen. God, by His power, has given victory to the people of God. And yet, my friend, what we find in these verses of our text is that the enemy came and was defeated. But my friend, they would return again. Amen. And this time, they're not just coming to fight. But this time, they're coming to bring them down in the valley. Amen. Believing some way and somehow. And my friend, there in that attack in the valley, they couldn't whip them when they was on the mountaintop. But somehow, they believe they're going to overcome them. Amen. In the battle fought in the valley. Amen. I would remind us tonight, the Christian life, amen, is made up of constant battles. Amen, we're always fighting. That's why Paul told Timothy, amen, to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen, if you thought when you got saved you never have to fight and you never have to go through some bad days and endure anything, my friend, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. Amen, since I've been saved, I can't tell you how many battles I've fought. I can't tell you how many times the enemy's tried to lure me, amen, into a fight while going through the valley. And it seems like the Christian life is just, amen, a constant attack being assaulted against you and me. Amen, I want to draw your attention in the matter of this constant attack. Amen, to what I'll call in verse 22, the sovereign announcement. Amen, the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself in Mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Amen, may I say tonight, God was not caught off guard by the return of the enemy. Amen, a year before the enemy ever came back, a year before they'd ever be lured into a valley, Brother Tim, God seen it coming, and God made an announcement that had with it instructions, you better prepare yourself. Amen, while everything's going well, and everything seems to be at ease and at peace, you get ready, cause the enemy ain't gonna let you stay there. And so now's when you ought to be strengthening yourself. And now's when you ought to be marking boundaries. And now's when you ought to be looking after the life that you ought to live. Amen. Can I say tonight, I'm glad. Amen. I ain't never been to a valley. I've never been in a battle. Amen. That God was not aware of. Amen. God sees him before it comes. And God has a way of letting it come. And he might get glory and honor out of our lives. Amen. Can I say God prepared them through his man? Amen. He sent his word through his man to prepare them before they ever got to the valley. Amen. Can I be honest with you tonight? Amen. It's amazing how God prepares us. Amen, before we ever get to where we're going. And my friend, how he tries to send us a word. How he sends strength and direction. And my friend tries to challenge us to get us ready before the valley. And how many times it seems like we're ill prepared anyway.
for the valley because we ain't been listening and we ain't been strengthening ourselves. Amen. I know we're a man tonight. Amen. And so let me just bump this because we need to get a hold of it as a church. Amen. But when your preacher's preaching something, amen, you do well get a hold of it, yeah. Amen, because I ain't up here wasting my air and I ain't up here just, amen, trying to throw something out. I've been laid up with God trying to have direction. Amen, it's amazing the things God had me preaching over a year ago and the first part, even this time last year. Amen, and folk, my friend wasn't prepared when the battle came and the valley came. Amen, they got themselves all twisted up and not. Amen. If you go back and listen what God was sending word about a year ago, amen, it'd blow your socks off what we've been through in the last year. Amen. God, amen, in this constant attack, He's seen it coming. And He gave a sovereign announcement, Brother Larry, to prepare them before the valley ever came. Amen. Let me say, number two, I see a shining arrogance. Amen. Notice in verse 23, the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Amen. You see, the enemy made an assumption that it was defeated because of the mountainous battlefield, and that they were the ones who should have won the battle. My friend, what they're really saying is, amen, oh, if we catch him on level playing ground, if we catch him on a level battlefield, there ain't no way they can whip us. My friend, what they failed to understand, it wasn't about Ahab, and it wasn't about the army of Israel. Amen, it's about God Almighty. Amen, that had sent the battle that day. And if God be for the people of God, amen, who can be against us? Amen, and the enemy in their shining arrogance said, amen, we'll go back and we'll fight them and we'll overcome them. Their God is not able. Amen, notice with me, we see the seeming advantage in verse 24 and 25 and verse number 27. Amen, then verse 24 and 25, Syria rebuilt and retrained its army and believed. Here's what they said, as surely we shall be stronger than they. Amen, and what they said is they began to bring back, amen, one horse for every horse they lost. They rebuilt one chariot for every chariot that they lost. Amen, they retrained one more soldier for everyone that fell on the battlefield. And here they are as strong as they've ever been, Brother Chariot. And it seemed like they had the advantage. How do we know that? Because verse 27 said, and the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them, watch this, like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. And so it looks like to the human eye. Amen. You see them there outside of Aphek, and they're down in the plains and in the valley. And there's the nation of Israel, it seems like. Amen. They're not just two herds of kids and goats. Amen. And the Bible said they appeared as it were. Amen. Little flocks of kids. Amen. Just little old herds of goats. And my friend, you look down on the other side of the valley, and there was the Syrian army, and it said they filled the country. Amen. There's a seeming advantage sometimes. Amen. When we go into the valley, we seem so small and insignificant. And my friend, the enemy brings all that they can, amen, to fill our life with terror and threats and torment. But my friend, may I say, amen, again, when the story is over, amen, God is going to be the God of the valley. The same one that won the battle when they fought it in the mountaintops. Amen, He doesn't see any advantages. Amen, He doesn't, my friend, listen, He ain't threatened in any way. Amen, I'm glad our God is God of the valley. Amen, notice there is this strategic assault. Amen, the Bible said, and it came to pass, verse 26, at the return of the year, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And so we find that there's a strategic assault. Ben-Hadad took his army and overran this city of Aphek. Aphek is a city of Israel, meaning stronghold or fortress. In other words, the enemy had taken one of the people of God's strongholds in the valley. Amen. That place that they anchored themselves in, that place they counted on to fend off the enemy. Amen. It looked like their stronghold and their fortress had been taken away. Amen. And that's how the enemy fights you and I in the valley at times. Amen. They began to take the things that we've made strong holds in our life. And maybe it's relationships with people. And maybe it's confidence in the flesh. And maybe, my friend, it's some kind of a ministry or some kind of comfort or some kind of thing that, my friend, we put all our eggs into. And we'll begin to think, I'll never make it. The enemy has stolen my stronghold. But you know what the enemy didn't understand? Amen. It said God was their fortress and strength. And God was their stronghold in the day of trouble. And the same God that had been their stronghold in the mountain, amen, is the one in this constant attack. Amen, that's going to be their stronghold in the valley. And so I want to say to the enemy tonight, amen, you can have all the earthly strongholds. Amen, you can destroy everything. Amen, that we put confidence in. Thank God I look on the hills from whence coming my help. My help is in the Lord. And He's the God that, my friend, looks down low. Amen. And helps you. Amen. As the God of the valleys. Amen. You can take every stronghold, amen, you feel comfortable with in this life. Amen. You know what I've learned. You know what I've learned, and I am a learned. Amen. God will strip every bit of that out of your life. Amen. It ain't even got to be sin. Amen. But God ain't going to let us have things and we put our faith in and our trust in beyond Him. And God let them go in the valley. Let the enemy come in. Amen. And take their little effect and left them without any stronghold to fend off the enemy. Amen, but I'm glad even in them times, Seth, amen, our God is able, amen, to be the God of our valleys. Amen, I believe that's good preaching right there. Amen, I'm telling you, God, amen, they've been times, God, amen, I remember many years ago, amen, I've always kind of, I don't mean in a sinful way and maybe prided myself the wrong way to say it, but amen, I count it to be a blessing of God that, amen, He's just given me a good mind and a soundness of mind and discernment about things, and I thank God for it. Amen, but you know what God did to me many years ago? Amen, He put me in the darkest hole. My mind couldn't focus on anything. Amen, I steeped in depression. Amen, I reeled out of control with a breakdown. Amen, you say, how'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Amen, God took one of my strongholds away from that. Amen, to get me the place to understand that. Amen, you can't run in any other stronghold than God Himself. Amen, and when God sees that happening, guess what He's going to do? He's going to let the enemy take your stronghold. Buddy, I'm telling you, for about 6 months, I thought I was losing my ever-loving mind. Amen. You say, what'd you learn in that valley? That He's the God of the valleys. It took me a little while, Brother Tim, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It took me a while to get the place to understand it all. Amen. But somewhere down in that valley I've learned it. Amen. I can't let my mind be my stronghold. Amen. My mind, amen, if left unto itself without God and apart from the grace of God is nothing. Amen. But I'm glad tonight my God is everything. And my God is the God of those valleys. The constant attack, consider with me. Amen. I see the conferred assurance in verse number 28. I've got to hurry. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Will y'all let me preach a minute right here? Amen. The conferred assurance. You see, the Lord communicated a peace that, amen, they could not work out. The Lord is assuring them in the midst of their valley. He already spake to them and made an announcement. Amen. Before it ever came. Amen. He prepared them and called upon themselves to be strengthened by the message of the Lord. And now, my friend, after they have prepared and been strengthened, after they have marked the boundaries and looked well to their life. Amen. Now all of a sudden they're in the valley. And I'm going to tell you there are times that you can prepare and plan and strengthen. And you can live right and you can do right. And when the valley comes, amen, you still need a word of assurance from God. Amen. All the preparation in the world, amen, means nothing if there is no conferred assurance from the Lord. Amen. I'm glad God gave it to them in verse number 28. And though they had been warned and prepared for the enemy coming, amen, when Syria showed up in the valley, amen, God had a word of peace for His people. Amen. Let me give you four things real quick about, amen, this conferred assurance. Number one, amen, notice it involved a dedicated prophet. It involved a dedicated prophet. Amen. This verse began, and there came a man of God. Amen. I'm glad God still had a man in the valley. Amen. There's a man of God. I believe it's the same man of God, by the way. Amen. In verse 22, as is in verse 28. Amen. He was there when they was on the mountaintop of victory. My friend, that same man of God was with them in the valley. Amen. Brother Jank, he was there to, amen, give them a word from God. Amen. Thank God. And you say, preacher, what you said? I'm saying even the man of God has to go through the valley. Amen. But I'm glad God has a man there. Amen. To stand and preach a word of assurance, amen, to the people of God when they come to their valley and when they're fighting against the enemy. Amen. There is a dedicated prophet willing to help encourage them. I say again, you ought to take very, very seriously God's man stands and preaches. Amen. In verse 22, it was a message where He gave them direction and gave them commands and gave them responsibilities. I believe because, Brother Mike, they took that message when them people needed a word of assurance, that man of God was able to give it to them. Amen. So if you ain't going to listen to verse 22, don't expect to get a verse 28. Is that right? Amen. This dedicated prophet, I mean, amen, he's going to preach whether they're on the mountaintop, amen, right after a victory, or if they're in the valley getting ready to face a battle. Amen. Ain't that good? The man of God didn't run off when the valley came. Amen. The man of God ain't hiding out in the cave somewhere. Amen. When the people of God are facing a valley, oh no, He's God's man. He's a dedicated prophet. Amen. That has a message of assurance that the people need to hear. Thank God for God's man tonight. Amen. There came a man of God. There came a man of God. Amen. There came a man of God. Amen. I know what people say. Amen. There's been a downplay, and I understand maybe, amen, on the other side of the coin, the other extreme there, amen, has been a lot made out of men of God that maybe shouldn't be made out of hope. Amen. And that's wrong, but it's just as wrong to make little of the man of God as it is too much of him. Amen. You ain't gonna make it without a preacher in your life. Amen. The valleys you gotta face. I mean, think back the times of your life. Amen. How many valleys and battles you's a face with it. Amen. And you've been trying to live for God and trying to do right it and trying to be strong in the Lord it. And about the time the valley showed up, God would use a man of God preaching a word it. That was exactly what you needed to help you make it through the valley. Amen. This conferred assurance involved a dedicated prophet. It involved a divine proclamation. Amen. The Bible said when this prophet, this man of God, began to speak, here's what he said. Thus saith the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I didn't come to tell you how I feel. I didn't come to give you my opinion. He said, I've come to give you what thus saith the Lord. Amen. All these, I ain't trying to make the message about me tonight. I really ain't. But, amen, I just feel like preaching right here a minute. It makes me feel good. Amen. These 20-something years of being a preacher, amen, I've only had one desire, and that is to preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I've been accused of preaching all other kinds of things. Yeah. Amen. Feelings and opinions. Yeah. Amen. And preaching this way and that way. Yeah. Amen. I wouldn't dare stand here tonight and tell you. Amen. I ain't ever missed the mark, and I've always said, amen, preached it right. I'll be honest with you tonight. Amen. There's been some times of fail, but down in my heart, you know what I understand? As a man of God, we can't afford. Amen. As children of God, we can't afford. Amen. To be walking in some man's opinion. Amen. Give me the Word of God. And if the Word of God says it, I want to know it. And I want to hear it. If I ain't a living it, I still want to hear it. Amen. Because I want a chance to be able to know how I'm supposed to live. Amen. And when I'm down and in the valley and discouraged, yeah, amen, I need a man of God to tell me what God said. Yeah. Amen. Assurance only comes by thus saith the Lord. Amen. A dedicated prophet, a divine proclamation, a direct promise. Amen. Notice what the Lord said. He said, I done heard what them sorry, low-down, egg-sucking Syrians had to say. See, I heard them over there whispering down there in their little cities. I heard what there's a murmuring about over there at their dinner tables. I'm the God of the hills, but I ain't God of the plains. God said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Because they said that, I'm going to bring a big victory right now and prove I'm the God of the hills and I'm the God of the valleys. Amen. I'm the God of the high places and the low places. And my friend, the Lord said, here's the direct promise. Here's what He said. He said, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. In other words, the Lord is saying, I'm the God of the valleys. And you don't have to fret, and you don't have to fear, and you don't have to worry, and you don't have to wander, and you don't have to, amen, go astray, and you don't have to run, and you don't have to hide, and you don't have to be a coward. I'm your God, and I'm going to prove that I am well able in the valleys. Amen. Ain't you glad about that tonight? Amen. Therefore will I deliver all. Amen. What a direct promise. Amen. I mean, you don't have to wonder what God has said. Amen. There's no shame to this promise tonight. Amen. There's no wondering about it. God is clear and plain and direct in His promise. I will deliver all. And I say, in the midst of your valley tonight, child of God, rest assured your God knows where you are. And the enemy may mean it for your destruction. And the enemy may mean it for your demise. And your enemy may be saying that your God was able to do it up there, but he ain't able to do it down here. But your God tonight, amen, sent your preacher out here to tell you, amen, that God has some direct promises. And God's going to bring us through with. And God's going to be on the throne in the valley like he was in the mountaintop. And our God will deliver us. Amen. A direct promise. Therefore will I deliver all. Notice there's a determined persuasion. Amen. Notice what the Lord said. When this valley's over, ye shall know that I am the Lord. You say, I know that, preacher. Amen. Oh, we know it, but God's saying, I'm going to let you know it again. You know it theologically that he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. But when we get in the valley, sometimes we wonder. I know maybe, Brother Wayne, maybe, amen, some of you tonight ain't that way. But these times I scratch my head and go, dear God, this valley's going to kill me. And I ain't going to make it. Amen, I don't know how to get through. Amen, but I'm glad I've been through enough to know tonight. I'm glad I've been through enough valleys and through enough fights and enough battles to know that I only stand here tonight because my God is Lord. I know that he is the Lord of all. Amen. A determined persuasion. You see the valley. Amen. The valley looks dark and the valley seems scary and the valley is low and the valley is depressing and the valley is discouraging. And the valley, my friend, makes us think that we're not going to make it through. And then you add the enemy on top of all of that. And yet, my friend, what we understand is that the valley is just a way for God to persuade us of what a big Lord he really is. Amen. I like what the songwriter said. I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. Amen. A determined persuasion. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. If you can come out of the valley and know that, amen, what more could we ask for? Amen, if going through the valley brings a greater knowledge of his lordship, if going through the valley brings you and amen, to a greater knowledge of his power and of his strength and his ability and his bigness and his control. And that, friend, I gladly go through the valley tonight. Amen, we may weep our way through, but if I come out on the other side and my God looks bigger in my eyes and my God has proved himself more faithful, amen, then praise God, there's an assurance that the valley will be worth it all. Amen. I see a constant attack. I see a conferred assurance. I see a convincing advancement. We didn't read verse 29 and 30, but these verses reveal the victory that comes to the people of God in this text as they advance in victory over the enemy, even though they're in the valley. Amen. You see, in the valley, we feel like we're not making any ground, especially when you add the enemy standing there against us. Amen. Sometimes we feel like, amen, the only thing we're going to be able to do is sit down and die. Amen, but you know what I learned from this text? That, amen, he's not only the God of the hills, the God of the mountains, the God of the highs, but thank God he's God of the plains and of the valleys and the low times. Amen, and even in the valley, God by his power will advance you in it. Amen, and the valley is not for our defeat. A valley is not for our destruction. A valley is not for our demise. Amen. Our God will see us through the valley. Amen. Our shepherd is leading the way. Our Lord is overseeing all of it. And my friend, Him, we can have victory tonight. Amen. And not a small victory. Amen. The first battle, there's a great slaughter. And may I say in the second battle, amen, there was a great, great slaughter again. Amen. God gave them another great victory. Ain't you glad we serve a God that, amen, that lets us live from victory unto victory. Amen. Oh, I know we fight battles in between. And if there is no valleys and there is no battle, Seth, and we never know what it was to have victory. We never know what it was to advance, Seth. Amen. I'm glad tonight, amen, that you and I can have a convincing advancement in our walk with God. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm going to die. I'm just sure I'm going to die in this valley. No, you're not. You're not going to die. Preacher, I'm telling you, I'm going to die. No, you're not. You're not. This ain't the first valley. Everybody do this in your mind. Look back over your spiritual shoulder for just a minute. Way back there along the markers of the way, some valleys. You said the same thing back then. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. This is the worst one. This is where I'm going to die. That's what you said the last time. And God lets you advance through the valley. What did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley. I'm walking through. I'm advancing. Are y'all listening? I was going to be done right now, but I feel like preaching right here. But Jerry, amen, I've preached this before, but amen, in Psalm 23, you have the valley of the shadow of death. Amen, in Psalm 22, you have Mount Calvary. In Psalm 24, you have Mount Zion. And David said he's living. Amen, he done been to Calvary. Amen, and he's headed to Mount Zion. And what he said in Psalm 23 is that this journey is like I'm going in a valley, but I'm going and walking through the valley. Amen. Your Christian life, amen. I know we get mountaintops, but just understand this. It's like one big long valley that you're walking through. You done been to Mount Calvary. Somebody say amen right there. And then you start off on your journey and you go down and you're just doing the best you can. But David said, I'm walking through the valley. And when we come out on the other side of this thing, thank God we'll stand atop Mount Zion. Amen. Why? Because God, amen, gave convincing advancements in our life. And it seemed like the enemy would overrun us and overcome us. And there was no way through. God has a way, amen, by His power to bring us through. You ain't going to die. I just tell you right now, I just can't go no more. I've been there. I ain't mocking you. I've been there. I know what it feels like. I don't know what it's been. Amen. Last few weeks, the Lord's just been breathing in some good fresh breeze from glory in my soul. And what I'm going to tell you tonight is you ain't going to die. God's going to bring you through. God's going to bring you through. Notice, will y'all let me preach? Amen. Watch this. Notice the staying power of faith. If you're going to advance through the valley, you're going to have some staying power of faith. Look in the text tonight. Amen. Boy, when God showed me this, I like to have had a shouting spell back there in Pastor Jeff Ledbetter's office. Bible said, and they pitched one over against the other. How long? 7 days. For 7 days, they looked face to face with their enemy. For 7 days, they clung to their sword. For 7 days they stood there with their shield in their hand. For 7 days they heard the clamor of their enemy. If you know anything about the Syrians, they were very strategic. in psychological warfare. They would try to win the victory over their enemy without even drawing a sword at the masses of their soldiers and the threatenings that they would breathe out. And for 7 days, amen, they heard them egg-sucking Syrians say nothing more than, yeah, you beat us up there a year ago. Now you're down here in the valley and your God is not God of the valley. My friend, all they did for 7 days, amen, was believe what God had given them in verse 28. For 7 days, amen, friend, exercise faith. Amen. They did not run. They did not flee. They did not forsake their post. They did not quit where they're supposed to be. And friend, they still stood their ground. Amen. What do you call that, Brother Larry? I call that the staying power of faith. When the enemy does all but convince you you're done, you can still, when a preacher can still mount the pulpit, amen, and preach in the face of his enemy, and when God's children can get up and sing in the face of their enemy, amen, and when God's people, when it'd be easier to fold in the towel, amen, and walk away and to quit, amen, to be able to stay and have the power of faith that says, how can I forsake my God? How can I quit after all He's given to me? Amen, I call it the staying power of faith. Amen. You ain't made it this far because you're a great Christian. I ain't made it this far because I'm a great Christian. Somewhere along the way, that gift of faith that God gives, yes, even to His own. Amen. He'll dump out a fresh measure in your soul. Amen. And for you and I to forsake our post, amen, we'd have to deny the faith that God gives us and believe that our God has it all under control. Stood there, Jesse, looking their enemy in the face, down in the lowest part of that valley, Brother Jake. Amen. And not one of them ran away. And not one of them was a coward. And not one of them surrendered to fear. They stood there by the staying power of faith. And that's something this generation of Christianity better get a hold of. Amen. I ain't being mean tonight. Amen, but there's a generation coming on the scene. And if they don't get a hold of that, amen, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody, amen, but most of us, I'll throw myself in. How's that? Amen, most of us stub our spiritual toe and we think that the whole world's come to an end. What are you going to do? What did the old prophet say? He said, if the footmen weary you, what are you going to do when the horses come? In other words, the prophet was saying, you ain't seen nothing like you gonna see. If you can't handle it now, you ain't gonna handle it down the road when it really gets turned up. You know who's gonna make it? Those who've anchored themselves in verse 28 and said, I just believe God. I just believe God. Don't know. He said, He told me how it's going to turn out. I can't see it. Amen. They filled the whole countryside. And all we look like is two little groups of sheep and kids over here. And it doesn't seem like, but we believe God. Amen. There's been some days that's been the only thing kept me going. If I'd have operated inside, I'd have thrown in the towel 20-something years ago. I wouldn't even got started. Call it the staying power of faith. 7 days they're in that valley just looking and listening to the enemy. The staying power of faith. Notice the sovereign power to fight. Notice what the Bible said. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined and the children of Israel slew the Syrians and 100,000 footmen in one day. I don't know if we can comprehend what that verse just said. Here's the Israelites, two little flocks of kids, a whole countryside filled with Syrians. When the Syrians, now I'll be honest, Brother Tim, I think part of that 7 day waiting thing, amen, them Israelites, they got that crazy eye in them. Amen. They's been some men smaller than me I wouldn't mess with because they had a crazy eye. Don't mess with somebody got a crazy eye. Amen. I get looking at you, that crazy eye comes out. I think the more of them people got thinking on what God said, they got that crazy eye look about them. And that enemy got thinking, oh, wait a minute, we remember what happened a year ago. I don't know who drew the first sword. I don't know who fired the first slingshot. I don't know who drew the first bow, but after 7 days, they got it on. And in one day, that little ragtag bunch of Israelites put to death 100,000 Syrians. Amen. It's a lot of people to die in one day. How did they do that? I'm going to tell you, there's a sovereign power had to come on those men. Take them beyond their own abilities. I believe they had more endurance. I believe they were swifter. I believe that they had more strength. I believe they were able to do things with swords they had never been trained to do because of the sovereign power of God was just working through them. And with, amen, they're done at the end of that day of battle. The Syrians are going, wait a minute, somebody count, how many have we lost? 100,000. Sovereign power. You know what I believe God does in the valley? You know why I believe I've made it and why you've made it this far? Again, it's not because we're strong. That sovereign power that enables us to have an endurance we do not have in ourselves. To draw strength from a source that's outside of our own abilities. Amen. In the valley, I've found myself doing things that was so outside of the realm of anything I've been trained to do and taught to do because of a sovereign power, Brother A.L., amen, that was in work in my life and brought about that convincing advancement that got me through the valley. Let me give you number three. There's a supernatural power in the fleeing. They look around, see 100,000 men have fallen. The Bible said the rest fled to Aphek. Now they're going back to that stronghold. That place that they had taken away from Israel. They get in town and they're huddled up against the wall. There's a supernatural power that takes place that number one sent the enemy to flight. But I believe directed them right to that very wall, and God went, knocked the wall over. And what did it say? Did it say 27,000 more men died just like that. Let me ask you something. Everybody's talking in these days about the devil. The devil. The devil working against me. The devil's come against me. The devil's lured me. When is the last time in the valley you seen the devil be put to flight? Because we have a promise in the Word of God, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. When's the last time in the valley you seen your enemies put to flight? Come on now. So, preacher, how does that happen? Again, there is a personal responsibility. Resist. Be strong. Endure. But at the end of the day, it's a supernatural power that God exercises over our enemy. And the devil that comes against us and lures us in the valley to bring us down in defeat, God can send him and put him on the run.
One of these days, he's going to whip the devil for one last final round. Somebody say amen. I'm glad tonight my God is the God of the valleys. Have you got any kind of convincing advancement? Preacher, you just don't understand. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. And I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through. I just believe tonight our God is the God of the valleys. He is the God of the valleys. And I'm sorry you hurt, and I hate when I have to hurt. I'm going to tell you something. He is God of the valleys. God help us here in a minute when we walk out that door and say and know and believe our God's going to get us through. Amen. Let's stand together. Candy's coming. You may need to come tonight. Amen. I preach long again. This altar's open. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus one more time. Please, God, help your people. Lord, we know what some of them's going through. The things that they're faced with. They've been brought into some valleys. But Lord, the reminder is tonight, you're the God of the valleys. When things go wrong, as old Sister Peg used to sing, you make things right. Lord, we know that to be true. We believe it tonight. Help some child of God struggling in their journey tonight, Lord, to get a hold of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.